Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everyone? Matt Aguilar here from Comic Book Nation, and we got a lot to get to. WrestleMania 40 is in the books, and we're going to talk all about it, the epic end, the epic finish to a story. But I've got a crack crew here ready to talk all about it after an already very active night in Slack chat. that was pretty epic itself. JK, what's up, buddy? Welcome to the mix here.
What's going on? I had to do the Viscardi hands tribute to, you know, our recently departed Jim Viscardi. We'll miss him, but you know, we had a great WrestleMania. That's for sure. We have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, Charlie Ridgely joining us. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how are you? It's good to be here after WrestleMania, and it's nice when they don't go till like midnight and you can go to sleep. And
man, sounds like you were up till midnight. Bring the energy.
I know, we got the Bob
Hank's,
Ross.
Hank's got a fever. We've been up in and out all night.
Understand.
Phew.
Oh man. Well, I hope Hank feels better. I dig in the Bob Ross energy though. It's good. And then of course Evan Valentine joining us to talk some wrestling. What's up, buddy?
Hey, thank you for having me. Don't worry, I have more than enough energy to welcome everyone into the American Nightmare era of the WWE. Let's go, baby.
Yes. Oh, that's a perfect look. That's a perfect place to start, but we got to go back a little bit before we get there, right? Because this really was like the 4 or 5 hour, 6 hour long story, because it all started from the very beginning. And we'll start there with Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. This was for the World Heavyweight Championship, but we knew a lot more was riding on it than just that. Let's start with just the Drew Seth of it all, because there's this, we have to take all this in like chapters. We got to take this in parts. So let's just start with the Drew Seth part of that epic match. We knew Seth was coming in super banged up from the tag team match the night before, and then we get this kind of big Drew moment. What did you think of the match overall and Drew conquering the mountain, so to speak? Charlie, let's start with you.
I loved that part. Everything you just said, I loved. I've been waiting for Drew to get this, especially the last few months, like this petty Drew. I know we've all talked about like this is some of the best work he's ever done. It is must see TV every Monday night when Drew shows up, and I was so ready for this because I mean we knew Seth was losing. Like, this is one of the ones that we could all like it was gonna happen. I mean, Seth had been the kind of the story being banged up and lead. Like, he'd been champion for what, almost a year. He needs a vacation. Like, he had earned it. We knew this was coming. And so I had kind of built that up in my head, and I was really excited about what the Drew era, since we're doing the whole eras thing. Thanks, Stephanie. Like, I was ready for that. And getting that moment, regardless of how short-lived it was really great. I thought the match was awesome. I'm never going to be like upset about how many claymores there are. You can, there could be 100 claymores in a match and I'm going to love it. So this was really, really great for me. And in the ending of it, like, I'm so glad I saw him again later, but Seth's walk away, like tears in his eyes.
That was good.
I mean, I've seen Seth is the greatest.
Cinematic.
So it was great.
Well, JK, does it, so did it work for you as well?
I think everything about it worked really well for me. I mean, coming straight out the gates, we all knew, you know, Seth being banged up, that's kind of been the whole run of his whole, you know, like it's been a theme of his run. And that's always been fun to watch Seth still overcome. But you knew after last night that his time was up, you know, like with, you know, him stretching himself too thin and CM Punk being on commentary, it just, you just knew he was not going to have his, you know, WrestleMania moment. And Drew McIntyre did. And the way that it segued and how it had been building up to that point, for everything that Drew accomplishing since he first won during the pandemic, during WrestleMania in the empty arena, you know, and like not having the crowd chant the Claymore line with him, and like finally they do the countdown with him and he wins. Everything was pitch perfect. And then how they, what they did at the end and how they just pushed it even further with like bringing up like the Money in the Bank situation and everything that we kind of forgot about, like everything about it, I just felt was perfect. It was the perfect way to like give, like have your cake and eat it too, as far as Drew McIntyre and like pushing that storyline even further down the line.
No, I think you make a lot of great points. And I want to get into those. Evan, what did you think of how this was handled?
So there's a recurring theme in this WrestleMania that I'm super excited for in the future, and that's seeing where the quote-unquote losers go moving forward, which is like, I'm super excited to see what is, like, some people might be sad at the fact that Seth lost the belt, and then some folks might be sad that Drew then lost the belt, but I'm super excited to see, like, what the future holds for them and where their story goes, because it's unpredictable. I don't necessarily know what's going to happen moving forward with Seth Rollins, what route he's going to take. Is he going to start vying for the Intercontinental Championship? Is he going to start going for Cody Rhodes now that he has the belt? Maybe get into the tag team mix. Who knows? Like, it's a super good setup for the future. And that's always one of the things that's a big factor for me when it comes to how good a match is and how good a Mania is in terms of the foundation it sets up for the future.
And Evan, to your point, I'm really excited. I know we're going to talk about this more later. Mm-hmm. What happens to Seth from a character perspective after this? Mm-hmm. How much he changes? Because I think there was more than one story that got finished last night. And like, I saw a bunch of stuff about Seth had this full circle moment and like how so much of what he was doing long term was designed to get at Roman eventually. And mm-hmm. now, how does Seth evolve? Not just in his quest for a title, whatever, but as an actual character.
Yeah. And like with the bloodline now gone, is there a chance for the Shield to reemerge?
Is the bloodline gone?
Yeah. Is it gone? Another excellent question. A lot of very good questions for the future.
All good questions. Well, you got to say, cause I think you like all three like nailed it on the head as far as there was more story in this opening sequence of like three sequences than some entire shows. Like there was so much, there were so many levels to this. Pulling in from Money in the Bank, as JK mentioned, pulling in from Rollins' own story, the Drew and Punk stuff, which we're gonna get into, right? Because here's the thing, I think Drew, the most important part of Drew getting a moment here was getting a win and being able to showcase just how great he is in this title format in front of fans. That was always the biggest thing. We've already seen the Drew title run. And as far as like that, now we haven't seen, you know, this kind of very snarky, amazing version of Drew in that role. He was very much a pure face, but like we've had that, like, cause he held the title for a very long time. Like people kind of forget that, like he held the title for a very long time. So like, I love that he got that moment. The crowd was, you know, Seth's still like beloved, but the crowd was very much in favor of, we want Drew to have that moment, that spotlight. So we got that. And then we then move into the Punk stuff. And I thought that, I mean, everyone knew when they put him on commentary, like this was going to be a factor. in the match. And so then we get the Punk stuff. Drew, again, Drew is the MVP of this because, like, he just sells it. Like, you just understand why Punk has to sock him in the face. You're also kind of, like, almost berating Drew. I'm like, dude, why'd you gotta do this to yourself? Like, why did you ruin it? You know what I mean? Like, it's feeding all into that. And then we get to what we'll get to in a minute, which is the Damian Priest of it all, of the why is he still holding on to the briefcase? People always, you know, there's always a lot of debate around the Money in the Bank briefcase and how it should be handled, whether it should be, you know, people get irritated if there's too many kind of quick cash-ins with nothing to show for it. This was very much not that. This was dude held it all the way until he possibly couldn't hold it anymore, you know, almost, and then cashes it in and gets that moment. And that also helps Judgment Day because Rhea won, but everyone else lost. So Judgment Day then gets a boost. Like, there's a lot of stuff that feeds into this just one sequence. I thought that was pretty expertly handled. I know Charlie wasn't happy about the Punk of it all. I know he wanted Drew to hold it.
The Priest of it's what bothered me. The Punk of it was fine. Punk on really? Commentary? Leave Punk on commentary forever. Never put him in a wrestling ring again. Let him stay in a suit. Make him a GM. I don't care. This is Punk not wrestling, but being a character is great.
Wait, so you didn't like the Priest part? I did not like the cash-in.
Because I just don't care about Damian Priest. And I like Drew. I wanted Drew to win. I want smarmy champion Drew. I'm excited.
But this is like the best way to push that. I mean,
you're right.
Because it's Punk's
you're
fault.
You're correct.
He's gone. Like now, you know, like now he has his ire on Damian Priest, but he still hates Punk so much that he's not going to be able to regain that.
And
title.
I know that you're right. I just wanted him to be the champion. That's all. And Damian's been a champion until till Saturday night for a long time.
Yeah, but he's never been world heavyweight champion. Like, what's the difference?
What else are you gonna do? I was excited about Judgment Day, like Rhea being the only one and like really pushing the like, why are the rest of you here? I'm the only one worth anything kind of story. And
they still got more mileage.
I just wanted Drew to have it. I just wanted Drew. I'm just selfish. That's all.
They got a lot of mileage they can get out of Judgment Day now.
Oh, I know. I'm just selfish.
Did you, JK, what did you think about the cash in, like having that payoff here and then also having Punk tear off the brace? Oh, it was so, so over the top and I love it.
Yeah. I think they needed to give Punk some sort of comeuppance for WrestleMania, considering everything that he's been through since he's come back and it's, you know, like it was taken from him. And, you know, ever since Drew McIntyre saying, I prayed for this, like, they needed some way to pay that off. And I think they did it in such a great way. And the fact, you know, that it feeds into, we all forgot about Damian Priest being senior Money in the Bank, you know? And so now he comes out with his purple briefcase, cashes it in and finally is able to. And we've seen it before. Like he tried to do the same thing with Drew McIntyre before and Drew McIntyre kicked his face in. So now Drew McIntyre is the champion and he gets the cash in on him. And it is just like a pitch perfect moment, everything full circle. And for like, I think that's the coolest thing with like this era of WWE. I know like we did a whole thing, like it's the Triple H era. And you know, he said last night, it's not my era, but I think whatever this era is, the fact that they are able to do like complex storytelling like this and weave in all these different storylines, you wouldn't have seen this stuff in the Vince McMahon era. It would have been way more cut and dry and ridiculous shenanigans. Like George Kittle would have probably prevented Damian Priest from cashing in or something like that. You know, so the fact that we're getting this, I just think it's just kind of attests to like how good the WWE storytelling is right now. And like, honestly, how good the matches are. Cause it was a banger. And then to follow up a banger with this kind of intense showdown with Punk and Drew and then Priest coming in, it was just it felt like classic WWE, you know, like okay, this is what WrestleMania should feel like. And the fact that they open with that, oh, you knew you were in for a good show. You know,
Evan, did you think for a second that he would fall after one Claymore? Because that actually sold some people.
Of course not. So when it comes to Damian Priest ultimately winning, I'm very 50-50 on it. I agree with the points that everyone has made so far, because like I'm a fan of the bolstering of Judgment Day. I'm a fan of Drew, the surprise, the shock of Drew losing after winning and being champion for all of 5 seconds. Do I care about Damian Priest being the champion? Not really. Like, sad but true. Like, I there's a lot of aspects that are cool about it, but on an individual level, do I think, like, he's going to hold on to the belt for a really long time? No. Like, I could see him losing it at Backlash or something. But, like, we'll see. I appreciate the unexpectedness of it all and the way that the story built to this point. But his championship reign, like, I don't know. It's not that exciting to me.
And something that I, again, against my own point, something that I forgot about until...
Wait, are you arguing against yourself?
No. I'm just like, I know I want Drew to win, but like another element, you know, Jake's talking about layers. Drew is one of the reasons Judgment Day is still in power. You know, Drew made the deal with the devil to further himself and further them. And ultimately, they're the ones that come and take his moment from him. And that just kind of adds another really good layer to it. Again, as much as I want Drew to be the one to have it.
Very good point.
It adds a really interesting layer to it.
And much to JK's point, I think this is, because I agree with you. I don't, like, I've liked Damian Priest for a while, but like as a individual, like, oh, I'm excited to see what that run looks like. I wouldn't say I'm there yet, right? I will say though, for what this means for the Judgment Day, that's a story I am invested in. I'm invested in seeing what that means for them as a group. We've all been anticipating a breakup at some point. And really, the clash has always been between Rhea and Damian. And now they're the only title holders. So there's no Finn to kind of be that balancing number, right? I would be very intrigued to see what that almost like a Judgment Day Civil War style scenario is. You know, we'll see what that means. But I think that is exciting. So for that, I am excited for this. And also, I just love that Drew really did it to himself. I think in story, it makes all the sense in the world that he would basically screw himself out of a title. It's fantastic.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. and it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, so let's move. Oh, actually, no, one quick question before we move on to the next match is Drew still, there's still reports that like, there's no reports that say Drew resigned. Does Drew stay with WWE? Because of course, if he leaves and goes somewhere else, then his whole Punk thing and whatever is moot. So does he come back?
I don't think that they build it to this capacity if they didn't have any, you know, sort of plans for him in the future. You know, I mean, if this is the final Drew McIntyre WrestleMania moment, it was a wonderful way to go out on. And, you know, him as like a person behind the scenes probably is just going to look at this last run and be like, that was great. Can't top it. No notes. But I think that it's kind of impossible at this point. He's one of the hottest acts they got. He's probably like the best part of Raw, you know, beyond the Cody storyline, which has kind of taken over the both of the shows. So I don't think there's a 0% chance that he doesn't return, you know, let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I'd be hard. It'd be interesting to see what he could do in a company like AEW, but also like, it's one of the situations where I'm so invested in what he's doing here. I'd really sad for that to end like that. It's a great ending if it is, but I think there's so much more to do. And after the last few months, how do you not just throw money at him? You know, like,
yeah, seriously,
pay him whatever he's requesting. Because, and again, we talked last night, you know, does Cody go to SmackDown? What is that? Like, is there a void now on Raw potentially?
Please,
with that, you know, if Punk and Drew can, and Judgment Day can really like stretch this thing forward, you have a big centerpiece storyline on Raw that can carry for a long time.
Please move to SmackDown.
As
the person who covers it, please move.
Let's talk about this again in 2 or 3 years. I don't think he's not on the All Elite train yet, but we'll see. We'll see. Like everybody else has said, just, yeah, they've set him on a path where his story will continue to grow and everything from here. So yeah, I don't see him leaving.
All right, so let's get to one of the other big moments. I was very much, I think, even at Royal Rumble time, if you go back and watch that video, I was very much wanting Bayley to get her moment. And ta-da! She did! The role model reigns supreme. She beats Io Sky, capping off, again, another long, winding story with Damage Control, the very faction she built, turning on her. Bayley finally gets a moment. And talk about, look, there were a couple of amazing pops throughout the entire night. Bayley's was one of them, and it was awesome to see just such, like, she is so, and Triple H has said it multiple times, like, she is one of the most underappreciated, underrated presences in WWE. She kills it every single time. And when a lot of the, even like, there was a lot of uncertainty and also injuries and things like that in the women's division, she was just one of the shining stars and pretty much just put that on her back. So I am so happy to see her get this moment. It was a great match. But you know, for people that will like that moment of her holding the title and everything, it's just seeing also in the press conference, like just seeing how much that meant was just made that special for me. You know, what did everybody, think of that? Let's start with JK.
So I think you touched it right on the head when you said Bayley is like underappreciated, because, ever since heel Bayley kind of came over when she destroyed the inflatable wacky arm guys, you know, and had her new haircut and started saying, you know, ding dong, hello. Like, she has basically kind of like, you don't have Bianca Belair without Bayley. You don't have Io Sky without Bayley, like to a degree, like, you know, Dakota Kai, I know she's been hurt, but like, even then you don't have her without Bayley. She has done so much heavy lifting in just propping up so many people in that women's division. And like when Becky dropped the title back to Bianca and, you know, Becky got hurt, Damage Control was there and Bayley propped them all up. And she is just like, you know, she's just like a dependable worker that you can throw into any situation and you know she's going to knock it out of the park. So the fact that like they built this storyline, because I think a lot of people took it for granted because Bailey kind of got, you know, stale and, you know, not a lot of people, you know, she's just saying ding dong hello all the time or hello idiots and all of her stuff with Michael Cole. But like this was such a great storyline and a way for her to like capture the momentum and push like the entire division forward in a way that, you know, we haven't seen her do since Damage Control first came up. So I think that like organically the storyline made sense, her getting her moment and like with the crowd squarely behind her and her character was just really, really cool to see.
Yeah. Cause you got to remember Bailey was also injured right when the pandemic era ended. So she didn't even get to enjoy all of the crowds back and everything for months and months and months. I mean, it literally was just like, are you kidding me? And also to that point, Michael Cole referenced that in his commentary. You know, we've never seen each other, like, you know, we're always at odds, this and that. Like, again, talking, that was like, if you watched, you know, pandemic era Thunderdome WWE, Michael Cole versus Bayley was literally one of the best feuds on every weekly episode of TV. So that was great. You know, Evan, what'd you think?
I thought that one of the from a technical standpoint, probably the best match of the night. I thought that, you know, as you both said, JK and Matt, Bailey she totally is underappreciated. She's an amazing performer, an amazing wrestler. And last night felt like the perfect synopsis of a fantastic character evolution, wherein she was able to kind of take the best aspects of her character as a face and the best aspects of her character as a heel and merge them together, wherein she can be kind of a face with an edge. And like her intro was fantastic, just being carried
so
in
good.
Like she still has that ego, it's not going away, but she's also, now that she's champion, she'll be able to, you know, put that into action. And again, this is kind of one of those things where, as opposed to being interested in seeing, you know, where some of the losers like my boy Gunther or Seth Rollins or Drew McIntyre are going in the future, I'm super invested to see where Bailey goes as champion. I think that there was a comment in our comment section from All in the Game who was asking, like, who should Bailey feud with next? And it's like, the sky's the limit. Like, I'd be interested to see anyone who she's taking on next and see where she goes in the future.
Yeah. Charlie, close us out here, and then we're moving into the big main event.
I agree with Evan, I think this is probably my favorite match of the night, just in terms of the wrestling. Like, we take all the stories away and stuff. Like, not the story wasn't good, but the others have such a big things that are doing with, you know, the Cody and the Seth and the Drew and the Punk, like all this. But like from a technical wrestling perspective, this ruled. And it was really cool for me because I'm, you know, I missed the whole pandemic era. That was before I really got heavy into this. My first live WWE thing I went to was SummerSlam in 2021 or 22 when Damage Control debuted. And so it was neat to see Bailey kind of come full circle with this and beating EO for this. I really love EO. I've really come to love EO Sky a lot. And I'm excited for where all of Damage Control goes now. Like watching them all come in last night and the attitude that they all bring to get energy. Like, can they keep all together? Are they going to kind of implode on each other? Like, I'm really excited to watch them navigate this titleless era. You know, I think Bailey has four built-in potential feuds right there.
Seriously,
and there's some other routes too, but she's got like easy ones right there that are not only like built-in already, but are really exciting to watch. And all of them would put on killer matches. I mean, Bailey and Asuka, we already know, is gonna be great. Like, there's a lot to do with it, and so I just hope that they can all be at the same level this match was, again, from a wrestling perspective, because it was so much fun to watch. It was a really, really, really good match.
And you're not wrong. Also, Sky is also one of the most underappreciated talents, even during her time in NXT, and they are phenomenal together. I will say, you know, I'm very, as Evan kind of mentioned, that whole you know, face with an edge. For that reason, you know, she is on SmackDown, and a Bayley Tiffany Stratton feud will just absolutely crush at some point in time. So whenever you want to hit the switch on that, you'll please do. All right, so let's move into, we're going to take this one as one big thing, because my God, there's just too much. There was too much to keep up with. So this was Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. The reason everyone's, you know, wanting the story to be finished, surprisingly, the first part was just one-on-one. That actually went longer than I thought it would, of just Cody versus Roman. And then we start to get, you know, we get the Jimmy mixing things up, and then we get the Jay. And at that point, I thought, oh, okay, we're just going to, like, open that Pandora's box now. But we didn't. It actually kind of went back to just one-on-one, and then the floodgates opened. Then it was Solo, Sokoa, Q John Cena, which I didn't think that would actually happen. Cena comes out, then it's The Rock. Rock comes out, then they pull the gong and Undertaker shows up, choke slams Rock. And then after that,
and then
we
disappears
get
with him, which was the
I know he just straight that. Up kidnapped him. He abducted him. He just vanished.
Where's Dwayne now?
And then Dwayne was like mysteriously back to help out Roman. I was like, where the hell did you go? There's more story there to be told. I need that time built in. And then we get the Seth of it all as well, kind of right in the mix of that, which to me is the actually most important part, because that was long-term storytelling at its finest from 2014, right? You're reaching all the way back. And then finally we get the Crossroads three times. Cody wins, such an emotional thing. I do love that, like, everybody and their brother then came out. The people, you know, the Avengers crew that we all talked about happening, that was actually just, you know, the current roster coming out, lifting them up. They're still involved, even though they weren't, like, involved in the fray and the fracas before. It was a pretty epic night. You know, what did, you know, Evan, what did you think of all this? What stuck out to you most? Because there's a lot to process there.
Could not have gone better for me. I was a Cody crybaby through and through. I could not have done another year of Roman being champion. I'm sorry, man. I was super, like, just the sheer, I think in our many Slack conversations last night, one of the things that I mentioned was that this is wrestling at its peak in terms of from a spectacle standpoint, from when wrestling hits, when wrestling is at its best, boy oh boy does it hit. And the fact that they were able to do all this stuff, like bringing out Cena and bringing out Taker once again, like, I think that when it comes to the biggest pops in wrestling history, I think that Taker's bell ringing during WrestleMania 40 has to be up there, because, oh man, I was watching it alone, and my wife was like, what are you yelling about? as the bell went off and everything. So I loved it. I'm super here for the American Nightmare era, and what a way to start it off. Just could not have been more happy with that match.
Charlie,
something that I can't stand sometimes in wrestling is the whole, like, bringing back old dudes because everyone knows their name thing. I think that it's rare when they can roll these guys out and give it every moment of it purpose, and it's all meaningful. And I think that's what last night was. It wasn't just dudes for the sake of dudes because we know them. Each one of them, like the Cena thing, had layers to it because he lost to Solo Sokoa, you know. Yep. And we were talking about that slight before it happened. I made a joke like, "Oh man, Cena's going to come take out Solo," you know, just because that's a legend that could connect to Solo. And I was kind of shocked when it actually happened, because I was just being facetious about that. And, like, all of these guys got a meaningful, like, story attached to why they were there. And I thought that was, I mean, Undertaker's a little random, but it was so brief and so cool that it wasn't, you're not dragging this older dude out here to, like, do a whole match and be in, and give it his big assist. It's like, you're gonna have this really cool moment. He looks like he rolled out of bed and showed up, and it was awesome. And he just, like,
he probably
choke slams Rock and disappears into the underworld. Yes, perfect, great. And then we move on, and it's Cody's moment again. And I thought that was like the only thing to me that would have been a little cooler. Like, and I think I said this to Matt or Evan, one of you guys last night, that my kind of fun idea was the whole roster, all the faces coming out and like protecting Cody, like all the current roster, like this big show of support, like circling the ring, protecting Cody and letting him finish the story. This was, you know, a much more monumental, like, talk about it, iconic version of
that. Yeah.
And touch my mic. That was really cool. So I adored every moment of how this played out. And but going in, I had talked myself into Roman winning just because I feel like I've come to expect it last year. And then after, like, we thought we were going to get Rock versus Roman this year, and we only got Cody because we were all pissed about it. Like, I just kind of was like, it's going to happen again. They want Hogan's record. It's going to happen again. I had talked myself into, it's okay if eventually Seth can be the one to beat Roman. It'll all be okay if I can get to that. And then Cody can finish the story against Seth because they already have a feud. Like, I've talked myself into this like headcanon of how it would make sense for me if Roman won. And for not only Cody to win, but for Seth to get that moment that I was wishing for really, really made it special for me. And like I've said already on the show, the Seth at all was maybe my favorite thing about this whole night of WrestleMania. And it did not disappoint. And then, you know, Seth said to Cody, like, they shook hands after the match. And if you're still watching, like, they shook hands, and then he's like, hey, like, I got you, but also I'm coming for you. And I'm sure Seth's gonna have a big vacation, but at some point he and Cody are gonna feud again. And I'm so so excited
for it's that. Gonna be good when that happens. When that finally happens, you're gonna have the story to pick up right there. You know, JK, what'd you think?
You know, I was watching it with my son, my brother, my nephew, and my mom, and we all did pop when Taker showed up. You know, it was very much a holy crap moment. But I still can't help like just acknowledging that it was so corny. You know, I knew it and I was still liking it, but I just had to recognize like there is no reason for the Undertaker to be here.
No, not at all.
Like, no. Like, but I mean, it's cool, I guess. I mean, like you guys already said, the Seth moment, like the way that they called back to that Royal Rumble, I believe in 2021 or 2022, and how they had that Roman and Seth had that match, and Seth came out in Shield gear, Shield music, came down the crowd, walked right past me, and then like Roman, you know, lost his cool and got disqualified from the match by going all out on Seth with the chair. And so the way that they kind of do that, it always comes back to that turn and the chair and that fact that they just keep doing it. I don't care. Keep doing that.
There was the same when Sami did it. It was the same angle on Roman on the ropes when Sami did it.
It was just such a wonderful, wonderful sequence where he had Cody and Seth, and he had to go for Seth. Like he lost his eye off on the ball, you know, like his eye got off the ball. His hatred for Seth Rollins carried him past Cody, and it bit him in the ass. And like, just the fact that they can do that forever, like, Cody and or not Cody, but Seth and Roman are going to constantly be doing this till the day their careers are over. And so that aspect to me is just like, yes, this is another sweet wrinkle. It harkens back to everything that they've gone through since they like jumped to the main roster. And I'm all about it. I thought it was such a great moment, and it really didn't take away from Cody's. It just added to what, you know, his win eventually became. And like,
I'm just really
Evan's
sad
been saying this whole time, like Evan's been saying this whole time, like, where do they go next? I'm very, very excited for like all three of these guys. And when is Randy Orton needs to RKO Cody out of nowhere? Like that heel turn.
It's going to happen, right? Because there's history there, right? Yes, there's so much to play on.
Yeah. There's so much cool stuff that they can do now. And so we've been kind of worried about what's WWE going to be like when the Bloodline era ends, but it's so exciting.
I could not be more excited after last night about
the Renaissance era WWE begins.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like a noted, like, I prefer the other company. you know, like that's not a secret, but like, I'm really, really stoked about everything WWE is doing following this WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I heard your Ambrose comment. No, we don't need to ruin it. Don't ruin a good moment.
Okay? Dude, let's just leave it here. I wish with everything.
No, we don't have time. We don't have time to get into that. So we got to get out of here. What I will say is that, you know, I think moving forward, there are so many intriguing matchups for Cody. I think there's just so much stuff they can draw in there. I will say for the Undertaker part, there were only two people that could have done that to Rock. There are only two people that you can credibly do it. Stone Cold, who I actually was the one I thought they'd get. Mm-hmm. And it was Taker, because Taker and Rock have shared as many, if not as many as Stone Cold, but a ton of moments, iconic moments in the ring together as Stone Cold have. So there's only two people that could have been. If you can't get Stone Cold, who I think is the one you get in that spot, if you can, it had to be Taker. And so just having him do that, while I love the idea of everybody on the current roster kind of shielding him and stuff, because that would have been awesome too. I just think, man, it's just not the same as Cena.
Especially if you can work him in. It was iconic. And the fact that you had Cena lose to Solo, it's seemingly only for this reason right here.
Yes.
Like, you shipped him out to Saudi and had him lose Solo in kind of embarrassing fashion just for this moment. I don't know if it was just for that, but like in my head, it's all for this moment.
And Cena worked, by the way. Like, he did two attitude adjustments, shattered the dude through a table, jumped out. Like, he didn't just do one jump in, and then he's still Cena, right? And gives. All right. So anyway, we got a wrap here. We got more amazing content coming on the comic book channels here that we got to get out of the way of. But guys, thank you so much for jumping in, talking wrestling with me. This is supremely fun. I love geeking out about wrestling. It was an epic WrestleMania. You can check out all of our coverage on comicbook.com. You can hear us also gush about it for all the Night One reacts on this very channel. And until next time, peace. Thank you guys so much.
Adios.